Thanks, everyone. Welcome. I declare this ordinary council meeting of the 12th Alice Springs Town Council open for the transaction of business as set out on the agenda. Welcome councillors, officers, members of the media and public present. I acknowledge the Central Arrernte people as the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs. And a quick reminder to elected members that this meeting is being recorded and will be placed on the council website. So start proceedings this evening. I welcome Reverend Brian Jeffries of the Anglican Church and invite Bishop Greg Anderson to present the prayer for tonight's meeting. So would everybody please join me in being upstanding? Thank you. Thank you very much, Bishop. Thanks very much for attending this evening. Please be seated. Apologies, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Apologies from Councillor Price, personal leave, and also from Councillor Brown, also personal leave.
Thank you. Welcome to members of the public in the gallery. Are there any questions from members of the public about items on our agenda or other business of council? I'm now going to call on councillors who wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on the agenda pursuant to Section 7374 of the Local Government Act 2015. I personally will nominate item 13.2, item 3. Now, we're going to move on to ask, in accordance with Section 67.3 of the Local Government Act 2015, I present the minutes of our ordinary council meeting held on Monday the 27th of March for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move confirmation of these minutes as a correct record? Councillor Douglas, thank you. Seconded by Deputy Mayor De Brenny. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. I'm just going to take a moment to open my page here. Are there any matters in relation to those minutes that will not be sorted out elsewhere? Could I ask a question? Could I point out that item 7, it states that myself, Councillor Heenan and Councillor Mielke left the chamber, but it also says that the motion was seconded by Councillor Mielke. So I do think we need to check the records. Either that or he left his presence in the room and went outside with Brendan and I don't know. But I don't see where that is either, but he couldn't have seconded a motion that he declared a conflict of interest with. The reason we left the room was a conflict of interest. So we need to go back to the recordings and fix that up if we could.
Can I also I'd note on here 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 9, 10.
Sorry, these items?
Yeah, were all moved by Councillor Kudrenko and seconded by Councillor Mielke. Is that true in there?
Yeah, they're quick, aren't they? They're on that side of the room, must hold the power, is all I can suggest. But maybe we should check then to make sure. It's a good point that you point out. Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Okay. I'm going to move on and present my mayoral report for the month. Please bear with me for a second. Okay, present my report and ask that a motion that the report be received. I do have a couple of changes if I could. First of all, under 1.39, could it be noted Senator McCarthy's name? The spelling is a little different. And also under 2.2, the poach centre at the hospital, I don't think has an I on the end, but if we could check those two. Otherwise, I move from my report if I have somebody to... somebody can move it in a second. Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Heenan. Those in favour? Thank you. Any questions arising from my report that I might be able to help with?
1.19, thank you.
Certainly. Thanks, Councillor Douglas. Gabby O'Dwyer from Head Office on the East Coast of Bunnings contacted Council and had a discussion with me around some recycling opportunities that they foresaw. We already do e-waste at the landfill, and I didn't... I asked her whether she would be... Her process was drop the e-waste off Bunnings and we'd come and pick it up and take it away. I asked what financial assistance Bunnings would be able to give. She said, oh, none at all. So I did point out the fact that we do have an e-waste free service on a Saturday. She spoke about that she has other plans and she will come to council, so I appreciate that. But the e-waste one, I thought, was just defeating the purpose of taking it about the same distance to the north side of town as what our facility is on the south side. Councillor Kudrenko?
Thank you. Can I please withdraw items 1.4? I'm just looking for an update on that Regional Economic Development Committee. 1.30, the waste strategy, and 1.38, the meeting regarding the Smart Cities Program.
Certainly. The 1.4, and I won't take any space away from Deputy Mayor Debrenny, who chairs the Regional Economic Development Committee. I attend as a representative council. They're working through their membership. There is some changes that have happened recently. New members have all gone through a brief as to the job.
So are all the positions fully occupied now?
They are, yes. And Deputy Mayor Debrenny, who chairs it, has got a workshop coming up for that in the next week or so. So maybe if you want to add anything to it, Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, with that, Councillor Kudrenko, what I've actually requested is that we get a facilitator to come in and go through the government's economic development strategic plan they're doing, to just notify us where we stand as a group, what our powers are, what our entitlements are, and how we can move forward. We do have a full council. There's 16 representatives. This will happen on the 9th of May. And speaking to officers, the Chief Minister has taken it on board, and he's now wants this to be facilitated through all economic development committees throughout the territory, this process. It's purely and simply something I felt that needed to be done so the development committee knows exactly where we stand, what our processes are, and what powers we do have to act in trying to develop Alice Springs.
Thank you. I was also interested to know if there were any particular items or projects that are currently being discussed, or if the group is in a sort of a reforming phase at the moment.
Pretty well with a reforming phase. Okay. There is 35 items listed, but I've requested that they be put on the table. We go through them, prioritise them once we know where we're at. I've also suggested I'd like to form subcommittees to take on these tasks so we're proactive as a community moving forward.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. 1:30, waste strategy. A while ago, the council gave the permission for myself to sit with officers and work on it. This is the SRT draft we received. We're very close to finishing that, but there is one part in there, the strategy, the strategic plan, which, as we know, we are working on now. So it's pointless to release this waste management with the old strategic plan or the current strategic plan with a new one coming on. So
is it going to be released sort of side by side?
I would think that the work that's been done on it is only now held up by the strategic plan. All right? That would be clear? Okay. And 138, Professor Gerrickson and Deepika came in here. There is a federal government program out at the moment called Smart Cities and Suburbs, and this is a very interesting one. Brisbane City Council, who have taken over street lighting and are using the poles as receivers of information. What they're now doing on normal rubbish bins within certain areas of the city, the sensors in there read when the bin is full and the truck goes out and picks it up. And they've reduced, the Brisbane City Council has reduced its fuel load by somewhere between 17 and 19% over the first 6 months. These two here in the Territory are working on another program around smart cities, but and I can't really talk about their story, but the fact is one of the real requirements of applications to that federal government money is to have the support of the local government authority. So it's a process that they propose, and they will come and present to council further down. To me, it was around waste. Myself and the CEO met with them. It's no investment by the town council. It was a letter of support, which clearly given them, because the more we can do to resolve our waste, the better. So, okay. Councillor Heenan?
Yeah, thank you. You've answered 138 for me, but 139, please.
Certainly, 139. Senator Malandiri contacted me around the concerns. I suppose in recent times, the letter that was put out by the Northern Territory Government, assuring that we're open for business. She has, in the near future, a federal government board that's going to travel around Australia talking about tourism. She wanted to ask me some questions as to why I had signed the letter and that process. She will stay in touch with us too and looks forward to bringing her group to Alice Springs to talk about tourism.
Okay, and they'd be open to the public for comments and or just to be...
I don't know the answer to that one, but most federal boards that travel clearly have public sessions.
In fact, they're on to a fact-finding mission type of thing. Okay.
I think that was the way.
Thank you.
But also, Senator McCarthy was very keen to just catch up on all things Alice Springs.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I'm going to move on and invite councillors to report on their community activities that they've been involved in during April, and I'd like to ask the Deputy Mayor to start that off. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. We started off with Ordinary Council. There was an IRD training session, RSD meeting where we were appointed as Chair, meeting with Dale Wakefield with Development Central, which is a committee that I'm fortunate enough to be part of, SFAC monthly meeting, tourism events and promotions, mayoral reception visit by the Australian Ambassador to the United Nations, Ages Expo, Chamber of Commerce Board reception, Alice Springs Youth Recycled Art Prize, MC the Desert Sports Foundation 1000, weekly brief with the REDC officers, Todmore Markets, Legant General Meeting in Darwin, Alice Springs Arts Foundation monthly meeting, Alice Springs Advisory Committee, Portrait of a Senior Territorian Art Prize opening, the Royal Life Saving Presentation, meeting with Erwin Chandler, CEO of the Mayor and Peter Collins, the YAG monthly meeting, DCA monthly meeting, catch up with His Worship, budget discussions, additional meetings, a meeting with Jeff Sloan from the seniors, weekly meeting with officers at the Cato office regards to REDC, Todmore Markets, Forums, the Doreen Breitling Memorial Lecture, Something Somewhere Film Festival, Queen of Ireland, Heritage Festival Open Day and Markets, REDC Pre-Infrastructure Development Strategic Report Review, briefing with the facilitator and REDC officers, and the Easter and the Alice Mountain Bike Challenge. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Douglas?
Yeah, thank you. Council meetings, some budget meetings this month, executive development meeting, men's shed, coffee and a chat out at Bunnings, bush weekend at Aileron, up there to say hello to a heap of people, and it was a good lot of fun. West Cricket Club presentation, and in the morning, Anzac Day dawn service. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Douglas. Councillor Heenan.
Thank you, Worship. The IRD training, budget meetings, Sydney Caravan Camping Show, the Alice Springs Desert Park 20th birthday, tomorrow morning Anzac Day dawn service, and we had people from the Heritage for Heritage Week. For the Morse Codians staying with us as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Heenan. Councillor Kudrenko.
Thank you. This month I attended the Executive Development Committee meeting, the Development Consent Authority, and I attended the General Meeting of the Local Government Association General Meeting in Darwin. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Kudrenko. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also attended all the necessary council meetings. That includes the Executive Development Committee, the Forum, the committee meeting in the middle of the month, and also the Environment Advisory Committee that I am chair of. I attended the Desert Sports Foundation 1000 Athletics Meet in the capacity of Program Director and Assistant. It's a role that I enjoy doing, and the race was fantastic in terms of result participation. It was good to see you out there, Mr. Mayor, and Mr. Deputy Mayor, it was some good work on the microphone. The Arts Prize... tomorrow morning I'll attend the dawn service, and I think in a couple of days' time on Friday we've accepted an invitation from the Chief Minister to attend the Forex Gold Carnival something or other at the Convention Centre. Aside from all of that, there's been two or three meetings that I've had with members of the public just in relation to some ongoing issues, of which I'll be able to discuss in two or three weeks' time. I'll bring more information. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Melky, and thank you to all councillors for the work you do in the community. And now move on and ask elected members and officers to provide notification of any matters to be raised in general business that's not already in our papers. No. Deputations or petitions, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this evening we have Mr. Darren Burton with us to apprise Council of recent developments with Mr. Burton's incinerator proposal. And Darren is from Inciner Waste, so I invite you to come forward, please, Darren.
Hey, Darren. Hey, if I get you to use the microphone because it's being recorded, and I might just go around the room. I know you'd know everybody, but protocol will introduce ourselves. So start with you, Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, Dave Douglas.
Brendan Heenan. Hi, Dinesh Pleat.
Rex Mooney.
Welcome, Damien Ryan.
Scott Allen.
Good evening, Sky Price.
Jade Kudrenko.
Ellie Melky.
Thank you, Darren Burton. I think most of you know me. I'm a local, born and bred. Have other businesses in town. And probably what I'm really here for is this has been a process that started in August 2014 to put a commercial incinerator at Brewer Estate to burn medical and hazardous wastes. That facility is also capable of other facilities, and there's ongoing... after that, we're going to do another couple of projects, but firstly, we start with the incinerator. So just a quick brief on it. August 2014, we started with consultation with planning. We followed up with planning approval subject to EPA approval in 2015. 2016, we gained EPA approval to construct the incinerator. 2017, we now go back to EPA. We've lodged an application for approval to operate the incinerator. Part of that includes public consultation, so I'm here, this is the start of my public consultation, and I thought coming before the council, as you guys, part of what the council is waste and so forth, we hope to work closely with you guys and help to keep the town a little bit cleaner, a little bit safer. 5th of May we'll launch our website, and on that website there will be our stakeholders information pack and a capability for anybody to reply or ask questions of myself or our environmental scientists that are working on my behalf. And we hope to start construction in July this year, with hopefully be able to have a start date of January 2018. So that's virtually where I'm at. I'm not going to go into all the details because that's all going to be put onto the site, but if there was any questions that the council wishes to put forward, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Darren. I've got Councillor Douglas.
Oh, sorry. No.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Darren. With that, so at the moment, where does our medical waste go?
All medical waste in the Northern Territory is transported to South Australia and burnt down at Port Adelaide at a great cost to the Territory Government. The transportation, also moving it around in South Australia before it gets down to Port Adelaide and burnt. That's all Darwin. It's all the outstations. It's Catherine, Tennant Creek, Ayers Rock, Alice Springs. We're looking at trying to look after Central Australia to start off with an idea to move forward and to be able to do all of the Northern Territory waste. We think the facility is probably going to be able to start off with 6 employees, and it could grow to probably 20 employees and be future business. But all the waste is transported to South Australia.
Thank you.
I'll go to Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Darren. I wanted to firstly applaud you for having the courage to take on these kind of projects in our community. You often hear people wanting to say how things are tough and nothing's happening and all this sort of economic doom and gloom. But when your project comes up, and I've listened to you and had a couple of conversations with you about it, and I think that your positive outlook and actual financial contribution to make this happen is fantastic. Having said that, my question is, how would you see council either being involved, assisting, or in fact trying to be involved in this kind of project? What is it that you would need from council in any way, if anything at all?
Well, virtually what we'd like to do is help the council with any of their hazardous products that they do actually. Some products are being put into landfill, which that's the second option. First option, of course, is incineration. So I'm hoping that I can help the council out more than anything. I don't really perceive the council need to help me in any way. I'm actually here to help the council and to help the Northern Territory Government, and, of course, to build a facility that we're going to run, and it will be state-of-the-art. It probably will be the cleanest facility in the whole of Australia. We recycle all our water. We're using solar power. The facility we're using comes out of Canada. They're used on ships. They're put into the Antarctic. And this facility is state-of-the-art. And, of course, all that will be on our site. But I'm not asking anything of the council.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Melky. Councillor Kudrenko.
Thank you. Thanks for the information and coming here tonight to talk to us directly. I do appreciate it, and for giving us the background about your project in terms of the timeframe. Darren, I'm wondering if you could give us some more information about the actual operation of the incinerator and how that might impact the community, so we've got a better understanding of that. So specifically, I was interested in what sort of hazardous waste would this facility take on?
Medical waste. I can give you a list.
And so what's the highest category hazardous waste that you'd accept at your facility?
Any medical waste that's being incinerated presently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not...
And will you be taking on any other chemicals or waste products from other industries?
We have the capability to burn oil sludge mm-hmm. and oil products, because we can use that energy then also for the incinerator. It's a great system. They put them on ships, they burn all their sludge, so they drop nothing over the side of the boat. It's able to be run on diesel, but we'll be running this on natural gas, which of course is the cleanest capability of running it. On the site will be all our technical data from our scientists, environmental scientists. This is the cleanest facility. It very much so. It's got a two-chamber system. So there's a first chamber and a secondary chamber. It's got a quenching system on it. So what happens is it's up to 1200 degrees CC in the second chamber to burn any of the smoke. Once it goes into the quenching, what comes out of the stack is 40 degrees and it's water vapour. So there actually is no smoke. And I'm at Brewer Estate. My neighbour's a power station and a gas refinery.
Mm. Yeah, I remember when the application went through the DCA, because it's not within our municipal boundary, but we did, I think, have quite a bit of discussion, because we wondered about how the town might be impacted by the emissions. So you're saying that everything is burnt and, in fact, it's only water-soluble.
Zero emissions. Very low to zero. We have stack sensors in the stack. We're 24 hours a day monitored by EPA. This isn't sort of just a jerry-built system. This system is such that EPA, and believe me, I've spent, you don't want to know how much money to get this EPA approval and what we've needed to go through, plus also to get now the license to operate it. It's stringent guidelines, and we have to apply to them guidelines, otherwise we won't get a license to operate. But the facility will be the cleanest by far, and I think you've probably got more chance of getting pollution out the back of one of your cars
around town. Can I just ask one last question? So, I mean, this is a pretty big change for our community, the first time it has a facility of this type. And before you said that this is the first option, is incineration. Can you just explain that further to me, why this is the better option rather than using options that we have available at our regional waste management
what
facility?
Options do you have available?
Yes. Landfill. Landfill, really? Yeah.
But that's the worst system there is. Mm. Incineration, high temperature incineration, is how they do it all around the world. That's why our medical waste is being transported to South Australia to be burned. That's the reason for it. So any of your needles, your syringes that get left in bathrooms and that, any of your blood products, any products from crime scenes, any drugs that are out of date, out of chemist shops and things like that, the only way anything that comes off an international flight, it's got to be incinerated, because if we have a chance of an outbreak or something, this is a facility that's needed.
Thank you.
Darren, I'm just curious, you've spoken a lot about medical waste. What are some of the other wastes that you're speaking about? Because I don't know. Can you build the business just on medical waste?
We could run the business on medical waste. We've actually had people from the state approach us, burn their waste. There is a need for this Australia-wide, and at the moment the facility in South Australia is running at capacity, so it could run. We're applying to burn 90 tonne a year of medical waste, which is it, less than what's in the Central Australian region. We're not looking at getting it from anywhere else, but we're allowed to burn paper waste, so documentation, secure documents from the courthouse, health departments. Instead of shredding it and putting it in a garden or having it where people are capable to read it, we're able to put it through the incinerator and destroy it. Anything, evidence from the police, we're able to burn any of them products as well for them. Plus anything that comes from an accident, blood products and so forth, where it might be anything that's that we can incinerate it with in that regard. But we have stringent rules against like animal carcasses. They shouldn't be buried, they should be incinerated. So roadkill, from the vets, any of the animals that
Have to be euthanized and that, we're able to incinerate them as well.
Okay.
And thank you. That doesn't come under our 90 tonnes. The 90
tonne medical
waste. Or hazardous waste. Thank you. Any other questions?
Brendan. Yeah.
Sorry, Councillor Heenan.
Thank you. Does that include, old paint and chemicals and this sort of thing that the, that council would be looking at getting down at their landfill? So any paint products and and chemicals and stuff that's out of date as well.
Thanks very much for this evening. Thank you. Are there any memorials, Mr. CEO?
There are no memorials, Mr. Mayor.
Any notice of motions?
No notice of motions.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the reports of committees and call on the different chairs to present those reports. So I call on the Chair of Finance. Councillor Hennett, thanks very much, Pastor. Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Wait a second. Your Worship, I present the report of the Finance Committee held on the 10th of April. And invite members to withdraw any items they wish debated separately. Following this, I intend to move in the terms of recommendations, not so withdrawn.
Thanks, Councillor Heenan. None withdrawn.
You wish to by moving in the items of one, two.
Sorry, I didn't see your light. I do apologise, Councillor Melky. Just a moment, Councillor Heenan. Councillor Melky. You're withdrawing one or two?
Item one, the director's report, sorry.
The director's report?
Just give me a
number
second.
Number one?
Number one's fine. Minutes, okay. Sorry. I beg your pardon, I want two. Two is good.
Okay. Number one? Okay, you wish I would move in terms of item two then?
No. Councillor Melky wants to open two. So if you move one for me.
Okay.
Is that correct, Councillor Melky? Okay, move number one. Number one, thank you. Councillor Kudrenko?
Yep.
Those in favour? Mm. Any against? I move to two. Councillor Melky?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to the Director, Finance Director, I recently requested a report be presented and in relation to and taking account into the deficit that's been recently announced, the expected deficits of the Northern Territory Government. And subsequently we have some more media about a $1.3 billion deficit into the current anti-government's budget. I wondered, that report was to request what potential effect it would have on our running of the municipality. It could talk about any grants that we receive, if there's any risk to those grants not being received this year or in fact decreased, or any cost shifting that might also be considered. That report hasn't come through, and I appreciate you're incredibly busy preparing and discussing with elected members the budget. However, that report is yet to be addressed. Secondly, though, I wondered with the recent budget deficit, $1.3 billion that's been talked about in the media lately, are there any initiatives in place from officers or the council here to call on to the anti-government relevant administration or whoever is the relevant minister in an area that we think there's a concern to have a discussion, so we would initiate discussions with anti-government representatives in relation to any potential risk in relation to finance and funding of our particular budget? Are we having discussions with the anti-government, or are we just sitting back and hoping that it'll all be okay? What's the preemptive action that we're taking in relation to this?
Thank you, Councillor. Through the chair, the question, you did raise the same question at the committee meeting, and at the committee meeting we did advise that we don't have enough information at this stage to actually comment, but what we are doing is we're trying to, through the media, trying to track some of the feedback, and there will be a report that will be coming to council in the May committee meeting. But as I said, there's very little information to tell us what impact it's going to have on things like council's grants. For example, council does get the library operational grant. We do get the various other grants from the government, but there's just no information at the moment to tell us exactly what impact it's going to have on those grants, for example. But as mentioned in the committee meeting, I do intend to put a report through to council based on what information I have managed to gather. But at this stage, there's very, very little information to go on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Director, thank you for the response. I appreciate it. And I also understand the pressure that we are under to deliver a budget, and that involves a considerable amount of time, additional time by all members and officers to discuss budgets. However, that makes it even more pertinent, more important to discuss preemptive initiatives. So from our part, we should, as you've just declared, no information, although there is a high probability of finances, the anti-government's finances being in some sort of a deficit. We're not sure of the final numbers, but $1.3 billion has been promoted in the media. So if there is no information at this point in time, are we able to, before this report is completed, are we able to initiate some contact with anti-government to have these discussions, to initiate, to endeavour to find out whether there is something for us to include in our discussions of budget?
I'd just like to say, Councillor Melky, until such time as the Territory Government brings down a budget, we don't really cannot work on that budget or expect a briefing until that budget's delivered. I think that the main product that we have is library. Are there other areas that you're suggesting?
So the report should hopefully provide us information in relation to grants, be it the library or any ongoing or expected budgets that to talk about improvements or projects here in town. I'm not sure what of the budgets are affected, or I don't have that information. That's why I'm asking for the report. But it would be a little bit pointless to wait for the anti-government to bring down its budget before we initiate talks, because then our budget's completed and we're basically making decisions on preparing a budget a little bit blindfolded. And I'd rather have discussions with anti-government members to at least get an indication. If there is no risk, that's great, we can continue. But I would like to invest more of our time discussing budgets with more firm information. I'd like to access that information somehow. And obviously I can't pick up the phone and call, so I need to go through you.
Through the chair, as mentioned, we don't have any concrete information at this stage, but there is a budget discussion on the 5th of May in Alice Springs, which we are intending to attend. Hopefully at that presentation there will be further information that's passed on to myself and to other officers that are attending. And from there, hopefully we'll be able to put together a report to council at the committee meeting that will pass on as much information as we can possibly get.
So will these be private meetings with council and anti-government, or are these open public forums?
No, it's not a private meeting at all, no.
So I'm probably after initiating private meetings, formal meetings with government.
Don't mind if I get some advice off you, Mr. CEO, but I don't understand where that affects our what we need to do to plan around budgeting. That's why I'm asking, is there a specific item that you are referring to?
Really the whole budget's affected. If there's any cost shifting that we don't know about and suddenly we're hit with, then that's going to affect us and we don't know. So there, it's not just about identifying what is existing, it's also the stuff that we don't know about that could potentially be, whether it's in relation to costs to look after Crown land, or whether it's costs to look after roads, or whether there's costs to look after footpaths. We don't know that what would be affecting us. So where there are roads that currently are not council responsibility, will they become our responsibility? I don't know these answers to these questions. I'm assuming there may be low risk, but there's where I, because we don't know, hence why I'm asking the question.
Thank you, through the Chair, and appreciate your concerns, Councillor Melky. There will be, as our Director has said, a report coming through the next Finance Committee meeting. I would just entreat you to have some patience between now and then. I don't believe there will be any traction or any particular advantage lost by Council by waiting those next few weeks. We are going to have a presentation or hear what the budget says. Then we'll be in a much better position to provide Council with some meaningful advice. We're getting media releases. I guess we're getting some drip feed from the proposed budget. We hear there's $20 million being earmarked for the Alice Springs Todmore, that sort of thing. So what we will do, we'll put all this together in a composite report, come back, and I think we'll be in a far better position to have some more appropriate dialogue with you at that stage. I mean, we're talking about a budget of $35 million. There's a lot of cupboards, a lot of drawers to be opened and closed in terms of examining which way council might go if there's a withdrawal of funds. We know the financial assistance grants coming out of the federal government, there's no CPI attached to those. We've had to accommodate that $200,000 loss. So if you could just bear with us as staff until the next committee meeting, it would be really appreciated. And I'm confident we can give you some, if you like, some grist for the mill, some information that can be worthy of some further discussion.
Councillor Heenan.
Is Councillor Melky finished?
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Councillor Heenan.
Okay, then I move in terms of item number two. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Kudrenko, those in favour? You in favour of that, Councillor? Yes. Thank you.
This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now call on Councillor Kudrenko, the Chair of the Corporate Community Services Committee meeting.
Thank you, Your Worship. I present the report of the Corporate and Community Services Committee meeting held on the 10th of April 2017, and I invite members to withdraw any items they wish to debate separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the item and of the items
and
recommendations not so withdrawn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Melky.
Thank you. Item 9, please.
9.
If I might, through the Chair, Mr. Mayor, item 3, mm-hmm. Please. Sure.
Okay, then. Others?
Is anyone going to withdraw 7?
You can.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. So 3, 7 and 9.
Thank you, Your Worship. I then move in terms of items 1, 2, 4, 5, 6 and 8.
Thank you very much. Can I have a seconder for those? Deputy Mayor, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Deputy Mayor, could I ask you to take the chair, seeing I've declared a conflict of interest with number three?
Right, with that then...
The CEO had withdrawn item three.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillors, this item was, in one sense, deferred, particularly B, which was that Council provide reasonable in-kind support for the 2017 Alice Desert Festival, and Council sought some further clarification for that at this evening's meeting. In the meantime, you would have received the email from our Director of Corporate and Community Services that went out this morning at 11:51. I'm hoping that all councils would have seen that, which provided more clarification, thanks to Red Hot Arts, of the festival. My concern is a procedural one. There's $15,000 in the current year's budget for Red Hot, for the Alice Springs Desert Festival. And this report is seeking the request from Red Hot Arts is a further $15,000 for the festival, which will take place in conjunction with the Henley on Todd, the Rotary Henley on Todd, which is about September of this year. So in effect, it would be $15,000 coming out of the current budget and $15,000 out of next year's budget, which makes an allocation of $30,000 for the festival. And I don't know whether that was Council's intention to have a $30,000 contribution to the festival. Technically speaking, procedurally wise, the $15,000 in the current year's budget would lapse, and that any provision coming from Council, if A was adopted, $15,000 would then be set aside in next year's budget, so there would be $15,000 net for the 2017 festival, which is combining with the Henley on Todd. So my concern is that if Council agrees with this, in fact there'll be a $30,000 allocation, which I don't think was, in my view, Council's original intention. They're my concerns,
Mr. CEO. Can I just clarify, the $30,000, would that be allocated entirely from the 16-17? Is that what we're requesting, or are we actually being requested to consider 15 in 16-17 and 15 in 17-18?
Yes, there's 15 set aside in the current year's budget till the 30th of June, which hasn't been called upon at this stage.
And so the new request is for allocation to use funds from this financial or next?
Next financial year, so which would mean this year, if called upon, would be 15, next year would be 15.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the clarification.
Sorry. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. So we have previously approved $15,000 and have allocated it. This request is talking about the next financial year of $15,000. I don't see what the challenge is. I appreciate that it adds up to 30, but in this case, the organisation has requested and have had an approval on their $15,000, which sits in this year's financial budget. They're asking for a $15,000 which will be spent in a following financial year, which comes out of a completely different budget. So that remains to be 15 per annum. The fact that they haven't used it is probably where the interest is, because if they haven't used that money, are you suggesting that, well, they haven't used it, so maybe you're suggesting that somehow we encourage them or move that forward or move that amount carried over to next year's financial budget, and somehow they only get $15,000. I'm not sure the reasons why they haven't used that $15,000, but it seems to me that they're entitled to that money because that was... So I'm just wondering why that money hasn't been acquitted, why that money wasn't called upon.
Thank you, Councillor Muggy. Just to respond, because it hasn't been called upon, because there hasn't been a festival take place. The festival is to take place in September in conjunction with the Henley on Todd.
So... in essence, what you're actually saying is we have already approved $15,000 for the use of this festival upcoming, which happens to be dated in the second financial year, in the incoming financial year, in the new financial year. So therefore, there may not be a need to request or approve this for $15,000.
Correct, Councillor Mockey.
So in essence, we vote down this and and have already set aside $15,000 for the purpose of the festival.
That's correct, Councillor Mogi.
So then if that's the case, why have we gone through this process of asking for more information in relation to this spend?
Thank you. Because I don't believe that the full circumstances were either known or conveyed or understood by both parties. So I've discussed with the director and we are now appreciative of the information that's been conveyed to council from Red Hot Arts, which makes the scenario very clear. And it's my role as a CEO to alert you to the fact that if you agree with the recommendation tonight to give $15,000 for the 2017 festival, there's already $15,000 sitting in the current year budget, which you could actually use that $15,000 to accommodate this request.
Well, not actually use. We don't have to do anything. That's just there and available, and we simply vote this down. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, because there will be no festival in the current financial year. And technically,
okay,
those funds can't be called upon
correct
for a
okay
festival.
I understand.
Councillor Heenan.
Okay, thanks, Mr. CEO, because that's what I was going to ask. There can't be this money we've allocated for $15,000 for this financial year can't be set aside for September this in the calendar year. So that means that that $15,000 has to be we can't use the $15,000 that's been set aside. So we have to recommendation here now, we'd have to defeat that one then and then allocate another $15,000 for the financial for the 2017-2018 year.
Thank you, through the chair. That's correct. The current $15,000 in this year's budget will lapse.
Yes.
But council's authorising through the committee recommendation that $15,000 be allocated for the festival within the 16-17 budget.
Okay, so we have to go back and rescind this motion that's in here now.
No, certainly the recommendation coming out of the committee, B has been clarified, there is no in-kind support requested, and if there is any, that would be dealt with by myself under delegated authority. So council would be adopting the recommendation A, and that is council approve a contribution of $15,000 for the 2017 Alice Desert Festival.
Okay.
And that would then progress into the budget, and there'd be $15,000 available from the 1st of July for Red Hot Arts.
Okay. Right, thank you.
Can I just suggest we have outstanding $15,000 there already? Line, we're in the middle of budgets now. Could we not discuss this in budgets? Where we go to, and like this recommendation that is here, we don't need to have it tonight. We are in the middle of doing budgets now. There is a line in there already stated for this, so we can review that in our line when we come to it to discuss.
Just before we get, that would be logical. Can I just seek some further clarification? I'm sorry to draw this out, but just going back to the information which was provided to us from the director in the email this morning, Red Hot Arts are actually requesting the total $30,000. They've put forward a proposal to expend the total for the 2017 Desert Festival. So they would make good use of the 30, and they've demonstrated that in their proposal. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Councillor Kudrenko. Red Hot Arts have two separate proposals for two separate initiatives. However, they go to the actual 2017 Henley on the Todd activity.
Is it Henley on Todd, or is Henley on Todd now just part of their festival season?
Sorry, point of order. If we're going to discuss Henley on Todd, and then I'm also going to need to call a conflict of interest at this stage.
We're not going to have a quorum.
We won't have a quorum, so we'll have to defer this.
If Councillor Mogg is declaring a conflict of interest.
Are we having a discussion about Henley on Todd through the director? Is this in relation to Henley on Todd approval?
Is it just aligning with the timing of Henley on Todd?
No.
Or is this part of the season for which they're undertaking the festival across a period?
It's a separate entity, though, isn't it?
It's part of the Henley on Todd. This money will be used.
Who is the applicant?
Red Centre. Red Hot Arts.
Just need to clarify my conflict of interest. Is Henley on Todd involved in this application whatsoever, and are they receiving any benefit financially?
They will be getting a financial benefit.
Can I get the director to qualify that with due respect?
In keeping with Deputy Mayor De Brenny's statement, it is a proposal from Red Hot Arts Central Australia for the funding set aside for Desert Festival to be utilised at the September Henley on Todd event.
I'll just call it conflict of interest. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll have one too as well because I'm in Rotary as well. I'll have a conflict as well.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe there's a need for Councillor Melky to leave the chamber because we do not have a quorum. This matter would have to be stood over until the next committee meeting in May.
I am the treasurer of the
Henley on Todd. But we can't vote, so there's no. Uh-huh. Yeah. So can I just ask, do they need this money to move ahead with their planning and proposals?
Yes. I would believe there's urgency on the part of Red Hot Arts. That's why it was I raised it tonight to get some clear direction so that we can't hold Red Hot Ups.
I'm really sorry, but the Henley on Todd, as a member of the board, I don't recall, and as treasurer, I don't recall us making this application or being involved in this discussion. So I'm not sure, just to clarify my conflict, I just can't see how Henley on Todd is involved in the application process and the physical receiving of funds. Yes, they may be aligned because of the dates, but that's not clarified. Hasn't been clarified to me yet.
Mr. Chairman, could I support Councillor Melky in declaring a conflict of interest, particularly when you hold the position of
Treasurer? Mm. That's right.
I don't believe you have any option. Thank you, Councillor Melky.
Well, with that, I feel that we'll...
Let's just wait for the
council. I'm not on the Henley on Todd board, but I'm also in Rotary, so...
If you don't hold an executive position, legally you don't have to declare a conflict of interest.
I don't have one in Rotary, but I'm not on the board either, Henley on Todd board.
No. Normally, if you wish to be very careful, and there were the numbers, you could actually declare, but if you're not on the board as in a role of an executive role, then you don't have a conflict of interest.
Okay, thank you.
Can I take some advice from the CEO where we go from here, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So at the present time, within the current budget, there's $15,000 for the Alice Springs Festival. Now, if that was called on, then it's already been approved in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that would mean that there'll be no allocation of $15,000 in next year's budget.
But can we bring that up in our budget discussions that we are in at the moment?
Yes.
When we review that line? Because it is there. There is a line there already situated.
That's all already had discussion in one of the early budget sessions, Mr.
But we haven't finalised that line.
No, it's not finalised, so therefore we can't comment at all at this stage.
Thank you.
Through the chair, then, can we defer this because I'm happy enough to give them $15,000 for this budget, but not for $30,000 because I haven't seen the email from the director either. So I don't have enough information to continue this discussion. For the extra money.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So at this stage, the council is not in a position to make any decision this evening. So it would have to be to reappear on the committee papers for May. The only consideration is that within the current budget, there is already an allocation for $15,000 for the Alice for the festival. But that is implied to be in the current financial year. So council would be actually paying that money in advance for next year's festival, which mean that there would be no allocation next year, which would mean that recommendation A would have to be rejected.
So,
if there was a voting to take place.
So, with clarification, with that, the $15,000 that is in the budget line was allocated for the festival that did not happen last year. So that's why it's still in our line. So that's my understanding. Is that right?
In the current year,
because the festival did not happen in September, that's why that line is still present, and unfortunately, well, it can't be used at the moment. But I don't think.
If council was not going to allocate $15,000 next year, I think there'd be a reasonable suggestion that the $15,000 could be allocated to the September festival, but that would have to be a special submission for council to consider. But I don't think that would be out of the question, but I would still like to discuss that with elected members.
Through the chair, I just wanted to quickly add, in terms of what information we might need to be able to make an informed decision on this, having a look at the proposals in the information which we received only today, so it is sort of somewhat last minute approach. Regarding the partnering with the Henley on Todd to cover the cost of road closures and other parade management needs, improve the impact of our local leading spring parade, and broaden the parade to be part of launching the desert festival season, and so on it reads. And also, Henley on Todd have not had much youth component, and this can better support youth involvement and connecting to schools. Whilst I broadly agree with that, I am quite concerned that those who do have active roles in the management of Henley on Todd are not aware of this, and this concerns me. Is this actually needed by the Henley on Todd? Are they on board with it? I'd like to know more about that as part of this proposal to make an informed decision. And the comment about youth component, you know, over the previous years I've seen applications from the Henley on Todd for our community access grants where they've actively tried to engage young people in paid positions to improve their youth engagement. So just their views on how that's going to work together, as well as, you know, some more information from Red Hot Arts, I think would be really useful to know if we're going to potentially now set a precedent of funding this festival of up to $30,000 per festival. That's what I really need to know.
With that too, Council, I was concerned as well with the traffic management that was stated in there. My recollection, we ran the program not long ago, about 4 months ago.
For the training.
The CEO, which actually trained 2 months ago the public to facilitate this event in oncoming years, so there is no cost.
I think it still costs money to get the traffic management plan written, though,
I think that
approved.
Through the chair, we do have templates. We can assist in that regard, but I would perhaps suggest on just in what you've been saying there, Councillor Gudrenko, I do believe the only way for council is to come back with another comprehensive report to the May Corporate Services Committee meeting. It would just have to wait that long. If there's a unanimous decision from that committee, we could have a decision out of there, but because of the quorum, the fact that we've had the Treasurer of Henley on Todd indicate that he was unaware of any involvement, as you point out, I think we would like the opportunity of doing some more research, discuss with Red Hot Arts, and come back with a comprehensive report.
I definitely want to continue supporting this initiative.
Yeah.
I just want to make informed decisions about it.
Yeah.
Agree. Mr. CEO. Thank you.
Thank you. And from staff's point of view, we're supportive too, but I have a procedure to follow.
With direction that, so we just, do we defer or just, and can I have somebody put that forward then? Yeah. Councillor Heenan?
Yeah, I'll second it. Yeah.
And everyone in favour? Thank you.
That would be a consensus decision, not a...
Consensus, I was going to say, we haven't got a quorum to vote, have we? So consensus decision. Are you happy with that, Jace? You got everything there? Thank you. Shall I invite back the...
So we will need to have Councillor Price or Brown in attendance to be able to progress this forward.
No, it was a consensus decision, yes, because there could be no decision either way because there was not a quorum here. So it's what they call stood over.
Thank you, Your Worship. I believe we're at item 3. We've just moved past item 3 and we're moving on to item 7.
Thank you. Who withdrew 7? Sorry, I've been out of the room that long.
That was me.
Thank you.
So I withdrew item 7 only because this was from the Public Art Advisory Committee meeting regarding the new public art entrance to Todd Mall. It's deferred. Apologies. Yeah, I'm happy to move forward on that one.
Item 7.
Somebody second that, please. Councillor Heenan, those in favour?
Apologies for that.
That's quite all right. Move on to 9. Who withdrew 9? Councillor Melky, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, firstly, I'll start by thanking the Director for all the hard work that she's done behind the scenes. This is a difficult situation and is a high-profile issue and a challenge for all of us. What I won't do, and I would like to ensure I don't in any way show shape or form criticise or show criticism. I think the Director's done a fantastic job. But may I just ask a couple of questions in relation to the pool? I was taken back a little bit by a couple of the letters, one particular letter to the editor from a Steve Schwartz, I think is the way you pronounce his name. He's the Tourism Central Australian CEO. I'm wondering, it's obviously creating a great deal of angst in the community, and I'm certain that we are all aware of it, and we're attempting to do our very, very best to get this to happen as quickly as possible. Given the situation, are we engaging in regular updates to the public of the situation? I appreciate you doing that to the elected members, but I would encourage you to also engage in some regular PR exercise to continue to update the public, because this is not just an easy situation. It's not just a matter of going down the road and getting a local guy to grab his kit and tile the walls away. It's a little bit more complex than that. We're privileged to have this information, but I'd be really satisfied if we can engage the community on this difficult issue and to take them through with us, because at the end of the day, it's one of the primary services that we provide, and it's unfortunate. While it's unfortunate, we're attempting to do everything we can to get it done, but keeping the public up to date is also a critical part of the process, I believe, Madam Director, and if you take that on board, or if you'd like to respond, I'm happy. That was my question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Melky. Please be advised that council officers have been liaising with media outlets on a regular basis. That includes the ABC, it includes Alice Online, as well as The Advocate. We also have regular updates of our council website, regular updates on our social media, and we respond to any individual email or telephone inquiries that we may receive. We also have flyers very visible at the Aquatic and Leisure Centre. So we are proactively communicating with the public and any stakeholders with as much information as we have at hand.
Do you have any information at the pool itself, pint or wall, that gives everybody information as to regularly updated to the members of public?
Thank you, Councillor Melky. We have flyers on the cyclone fence which surrounds the 25-metre indoor pool. We also have flyers on the counter at the entrance to the Aquatic and Leisure Centre.
Madam Director, with respect, may I make a recommendation? Given the seriousness of the issue, I feel that we need to set aside a special area within the complex and just simply make it more than enough to be visible, some form of a community information board, and actually call it what it is, the project update, and have that information on there. A flyer just isn't going to work for me personally. I think we have to make that effort to point to anyone who's making inquiries, there's the latest information, and please make sure it continues to be updated.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Melky. We can certainly make that change and addition to what's happening at present.
Councillor Kudrenko, I'll get you to complete that.
Thank you. I then move in terms of item 9, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Just a second. I have a seconder for 9, please. Councillor Douglas, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. And thanks for that report, Councillor Kudrenko. Now going to move on and invite Councillor Melky as the Chair of Technical Services to report on...
We need a director, don't we?
Yes. We've only got an acting one at the moment.
Pretty good actor. And that was a compliment, Mr. Acting Director. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too would like to invite elected members. I present, first of all, the Technical Services Committee report, 14th of April 2017, and wish to invite elected members to nominate any items that they wish to withdraw to debate. Otherwise, I will move to move other items that haven't been so declared. Sorry, items.
Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, just item four, please.
Thank you. That was one I would like to also raise.
It's been raised, yep. Could I please just a question on item three?
Three, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Heenan, three.
Three, thank you.
Thank you.
No others? Back to you then.
Four. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to, I'd like to move items 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder for those, please? Yep. Deputy Mayor, those in favour? Yep. Any against?
Oh, sorry, I was too quick.
Now I'll go to Councillor Heenan on number three.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like an update from the Director. Has public consultation taken place at this stage?
Not until it's passed this evening.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, we'll have to wait then. Thank you.
All right. Then if I could just ask the Acting Director, could you be ensured that elected members have the opportunity to be involved in the public consultation?
Through the Chair, that's our intention, that all elected members will be offered the opportunity to attend the public consultation.
Thank you. Okay. Get you to move three.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to move item three, please.
Thanks very much. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Kudrenko, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now move on to four, which has been withdrawn by the Deputy Mayor.
I think I'm in the same situation. It needs to be passed. It's a recommendation that council officers get advice from relevant NT government departments unless there is that consultation has been done and we can get a comment tonight.
Through the Chair, I have met with NT government officials. What they told me I wasn't totally satisfied with, the information that they provided to me. I've now asked for a subsequent meeting with the certifiers to get to the bottom of what the issue is, so that then I can brief the elected members as to what's going on with that issue.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Melky, I just want to go... You've got a comment on four?
Yes, I do.
Certainly.
Thank you. Can I... Okay. Mr. Mayor, just following on the Deputy Mayor's point, I appreciate that, yes, we do have to vote it into and wait until the relevant report's been made, but I'm somewhat interested more in the comments made by the Acting Director. I have followed this little issue for a little while, and I did make requests to the CEO to ensure that the relevant information presented to us previously by the manager was information that was supported by the necessary and absolute department that was in charge of providing such information and the relevant certifiers. What concerns me now is that there is dissatisfaction with the current acting director, who was not involved in this at all previously, as I understand it. Whereas we elected members received a report countersigned by then acting director, saying and supporting that the report received by that officer or that manager is the one that should guide us to in fact make a decision on. It concerns me greatly that we are dealing with such information that is in fact, as proven tonight, hasn't met the satisfaction to date, and that requires more information and it requires elected members to formally request that in a form of a resolution. If we're making decisions as a result of those kind of reports, that is tremendous concern for me, and I would suggest that's a concern for all to be dealing with. I'm just not satisfied that report could have come through, countersigned, but by a senior member of the council, and then now to find out that it's still not satisfactory. And I applaud the acting director for following it through.
I'm sorry, Did you have a question for the acting director?
The questions have already been answered, so I have to wait until the information has been provided. I made my point that it's concerning the acting director is not satisfied with the previous report.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I got lost on that. Can I ask a question, although there's one here? I'm just curious. I attended the sports facility today, but there were a few apologies from some resolving this issue on number 7 I've just spotted. Now, did the Deputy Mayor meet out there on site? Are you happy with the outcome of 7?
Sorry, I must be...
So is this regarding the cricket and at Ross Park?
Yes.
Nothing will be resolved until it comes back to us, though, will it not? This is only asking for an investigation.
Yeah, and I'm just curious as to what's happened, because I got told at SFAC today that some meetings have happened, and I haven't had the opportunity of asking the Deputy Mayor. So
they did ask me if I would meet on site with the actual cricket association. I gave my advice as in a builder, which way I thought they could do, resolve it. Again, they were going to come back. The cricket association treasurer that I spoke to, they've come back from their organisation saying they'd like to stay on the same procedure, looking at leasing a portion from the cricket nets or talking to Ross Park. The solution I'd come up with was actually to pull the nets out, put them east-west with the sun and everything. I didn't think it was an issue because they'd either be playing under lights or they're finished by 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock and the sun's not an issue in summer. That was purely my recommendation. That way it'd be solely on council land. It didn't interfere with any soccer at all. I thought it was an idea that we could use for promotion and everything as well. The side of the nets could be used for advertising. The back of the nets could be actually set up as a soccer warm-up area for juniors as well. But again, that was my advice to them. If they take it, again, it was just a recommendation. As a builder, they asked me ideas from that line.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to
So as a matter of process, though, I am keen to understand this a little bit better. So council had written a letter of support to cricket to investigate taking on a lease for a portion of Ross Park Primary School land for the purpose of cricket nets. Is that right?
I thought the letter of support was for funding, which they've since received.
That council had sent... It's just here in the minutes. It said Dr. Bruce Walker advised that the letter of support for cricket were to provide to refurbish the cricket nets at Ross Park.
That's right. So the cricket
was that decided after the letter of support, or was that the letter of support
cricket,
was for?
Cricket asked council for support to put in for funding. This issue about the land has arisen since they investigated.
So it wasn't part of the original proposal.
No, not at all. So now. It was brought up in SFAC that we have an issue of the way they are. They've received funding to do this work on and improve their nets, but some's going to be on our land and some's going to be on the Ross Park Primary School land. So this is where the issues come into play. But maybe the director could...
Through the chair, also RSL could put a lot of money into the nets, and with the ownership of that land in the school, they could... come in and say you're off this land immediately. So what RSL, the cricket club, is trying to do is to get almost like a lease on that so that the school won't come in and say you're off our land now. So
the cricket club are asking council to get a lease, or they're asking, they themselves are going to investigate having a lease?
I think that's still to be decided who is going to approach the school. But
the improvements under normal circumstances of any sporting ground that's ours belong to the community.
Mm.
They've gone for the grant. I think that's where the Deputy Mayor got involved and said, you've got yourself a bit of a issue here because you've got two landowners. So he's made suggestions that they be different. It was just there were people missing from SFAC today due to work commitments that I couldn't get this cleared up. That's why I want to take this opportunity to ask it.
I'm just confused because cricket do have nets... around, like they have nets at a few different locations already, don't they?
They have nets at this place right now.
Yeah.
But they want to upgrade them. They want to invest money in them.
And what's stopping them from doing that in a place where they can do it without impacting on other people's property?
When the search was done, it was found that half it's on the school land and half it's on council's land. And the concern is if the cricket group invest their money and then there is a breakdown.
My question is more so, did they fully open their investigation to look at sites for which they already have arrangements in place and aren't impeding on other people's property? So, like, we have, they already have nets at Traeger,
which
correct?
Which is our property.
Yeah, which is our property. They already have access nets at the CDU Oval, for which we maintain and have an agreement in place. And, I mean, I don't know well enough, but I'm assuming
they've
got them...
They're all separate clubs. So the different clubs have different training facilities, whereas in football there's only a couple of ovals they all share.
Right.
But within cricket, different
clubs have to have their own nets.
Council owns the nets, but this one is used exclusively by this club and this one's used by another club.
There's also the issue, Councillor, through the chair, if someone gets hit while they're batting, that's on school land, so insurance would be through the school. If they get hit on the other side of the fence, that'd be council issue. So they're trying to clear that up as well about where they are and where they get hurt.
Councillor Melky?
I'm just waiting to move item four, and I've already moved item seven, so I'm not sure. I'm a bit lost with the process.
Asked the question because I had the opportunity
Sorry.
To deputy mayor.
That's
here.
Right. No. I'm just a bit concerned because it was a very good discussion that item 7's now been moved. Was there a possibility of change of result so that everyone's happy with that?
No, but I was
That's
just
fine.
Wanting
no,
it
I'm
to be on the notice that
Thank
others
you.
Understood.
No, I appreciate the information. Thank you. So I'm just ready to move item 4, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Seconder, please. Councillor Heenan, those in favour? Any against?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Are there any questions without notice? Oh, sorry. This is all. So I'm going to go to 14.1.1, which is the CEO's report. Ask for somebody to move their report. There are no... this is just that the report be received and noted. Somebody move that, please. Councillor Heenan, somebody second it. Councillor Melky, those in favour? Thank you. Any other business? Did we clear any up at the beginning, Mr. CEO?
There was no other.
No? Okay, then. Thank you. Matters for the media. Thank you very much for your attendance, and I'm sure you'll deal with issues from this evening. Next ordinary meeting is Monday the 29th of May at 6 p.m. in this council chamber. Being no other business, I ask for somebody to move. We adjourn to confidential section. Move, Deputy Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Douglas. Those in favour? Thank you. We'll have a short break.
Thank you, councillors.